Hello, Reject. I'm Brent.
And I'm Dave. Welcome back to Rejected Central.
It's April, which in Canada means the beginning of the 2024 season of the Canadian Premier League, or CPL. So to mark the occasion, our beloved CPL team, Forge FC here in Hamilton, has invited us back to talk to some players, and we have Kevon Tavernier. Oh my goodness, this is going to be hard. Sorry in advance.
It's a mental block now. Good. Now this is a mental block.
That's right, and I'm going to mispronounce Noah's name now, just so it's all equal now.
No, I'm
just
kidding.
And Noah Jensen as well. Guys, welcome to Rejected Central.
Thanks for having us.
Now, we're here on location at Tim Hortons Field, Forge FC's home, and we're going to talk to these guys about their experiences and, is tradition, perhaps put them on the spot just a little bit. How does that sound?
Fantastic.
Here we go.
I'm so ready for this.
That's right. All right, let's do this. We're joined by a couple of Forge players who have both made significant impacts on significant games with the history of the team. Midfielder Noah Jensen made his Forge FC debut in notable fashion, I might add, which we'll talk about in a little bit, slightly more than 2 years ago, although judging by the way he slots seamlessly into our midfield, you might think he's been playing here a lot longer. He's a true architect of the game, and it's not hard to see why the team relies on him to impact every game he touches. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. Those are some very kind words.
Well, it's neat to watch. I'm a fairly recent convert to the beautiful game. I played when I was a kid, but in terms of watching the professional game, I just enjoy how it's built, and I really, really love watching that. So the midfield on the team is a delight.
Oh, it's a delight to be a part of, I'll tell you that.
And Kevon Tavernier, how'd I do?
It's better.
We'll get there. Is a more recent addition to Forge, but already is an impact player turning heads on the attack, including a certain goal very recently that we'll definitely talk about later. So we've discovered that it's probably best if we do the putting on the spot right away.
Perfect.
All right? That way it doesn't sort of hang over us like a rain cloud.
Yeah.
So can you think of a significant challenge or rejection that you faced in your life, and talk about how you responded to that. And Noah said I think he thought of a whole bunch of stories right before we were getting this ready. So
I've got plenty of stories, but so rejection for me only being 24 years old, I would say it's something I've faced a lot of. But I'm not envious of it. I think it's helped me learn a lot about myself as a footballer, as a person, which are lessons I don't think you learn any other way. So something non-football related that I think was really important to me, when I was graduating high school, going into my senior year, I was really keen on getting like good grades, performing well in soccer, and just, you know, like trying to develop as a person and mature slowly in my game and off the field. But yeah, I went into my grade 12 graduation. I had no scholarship offers to go play soccer in the United States. And my academics that I had worked so strongly towards, in my grade 8 graduation, there was like a bunch of awards given out for academics and I got none of them.
Really?
Yeah.
That is something, given what you have accomplished, I would say.
Yeah, and you know, academics is always something that I've taken really seriously, and that was a really big disappointing moment for me, I'll be honest, because it was something, it's not just something that I'd worked at one semester, it had been 4 years, and when I was young and in high school, it was kind of like I was seeking that recognition. I wanted to have something tangible to hold on to for my hard work, but it also taught me that you don't need it. You know, like, I accomplished that for myself. It set me up to be in a position to go play soccer in university, get a degree, and move on to the professional game, and I wouldn't change a single thing about it.
What is your degree in?
Actuarial science.
Okay, now.
Yeah.
I obviously know what that is.
No clue.
So you'll have to explain it to our listeners.
Yeah, and to other podcast hosts who may not be clear about it.
We don't want to assume anything.
Yeah.
So basically for 4 years, I took stats and math.
Okay.
Actuarial science is just like the science of risk management or risk analysis.
Okay.
And going into university, I was in general business. I took calculus my first semester, and I was like, hey, this is the easiest class that I've ever taken.
Wow.
So I said, I need to be taking more of that.
Something about the numbers.
Yeah, and it switched me. I switched the next semester, and yeah, I didn't look back.
I'm going to try to avoid math metaphors for your game. How we describe your game from
That's
now
good.
On.
That's good.
So you could be running analytics someday.
I could someday. Yeah. It is an emerging field in football, and so.
I was going to say, do you pay a lot of attention to all of the data that gets sent up to the satellites?
And I do, and I think it's cool not only just in football but outside of it in sports like tennis and American football. It's something that. In the past, you know, everything just came down to the eye test, but now it's more numbers driven, and I think it's a very interesting part of sport to be able to analyze and look at games from a numbers perspective rather than just what you see.
So you definitely don't, sorry for this, reject the math.
Correct.
Okay. And Kevon, how about you? Is there anything in coming up or football or non that you face that you can talk to us about a little bit?
Well, I'm a little young, so I don't really have many rejection stories.
He's very young.
For those who can't see this.
Well, they can't see me either, and obviously. It's very important they don't know how old I am.
So. Fair enough.
The only story that comes to my head when I think of a rejection story of myself is in, like, elementary school with, like, a basketball team. Like, I tried out for the senior basketball team as a grade 6 student. And I didn't make it because of my size and my height. And I was pretty sad at the time, but I didn't end up choosing to play basketball. So
maybe it worked
maybe
out.
For the better.
Yeah.
You tried this out, didn't work out.
Yeah.
Let's do worked soccer. Now I'm Let's do football. Soccer. Yeah.
Well, Garvin, when he was on, Garvin Matusalem, when he was on, he had a similar thing. And he was able to go back to some of the people that when he was younger and mm-hmm. say, well, you know.
Okay. Maybe. Maybe get a shot in another basketball team soon.
Yeah. Well, I know Garv likes to think he's good at basketball, but I'm not so sure about that.
All right. Well, I don't think it necessarily depends on the age when you have those little trials and those hardships and those challenges, right? Like they can really affect you.
Yeah.
You know, and even though you are young, right? You have to, in order to find yourself on a professional team, you have to find ways past those, I would think.
Yeah, 100%. There's always going to be times where you're going to get rejected by somebody and someone's not going to like you, but you just find a way past it and then you get to where you want to be in the end.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
You get the last laugh.
Exactly. Right. See, no gents in those.
So we're actually, a little bit later, we're going to talk about some of those connections when you were younger and now. So you know what, let's jump there now. So did you ever have anybody along the way that... I mean, we have a basketball story, mm-hmm. but in terms of football, and we'll start with you again, come on. Did anybody sort of say, yeah, you know what, maybe you should think about, I don't know, actuary science or something like that, right? Like, maybe you should think about something
That's
else.
That's
oddly specific. Was that too easy? No, sorry. No.
That was good, though. I really appreciate that one.
How timely.
The more people talking about it, the better.
All right.
Not really. Everybody in my life, like, from parents, family, friends, they're all, like, from young, they all wanted to push me to play soccer. And when I was younger, I was more focused on, like, playing all different types of sports. So that when that rejection happened to me, my parents and my family, they all, like, told me, like, I think it's time to, like, start focusing on this one thing now.
Nice.
Put all your eggs in this one basket.
Sure.
See where this goes for you.
Did you have a particular coach or sort of mentor when you were a little bit younger?
Not really. It was just my father.
Okay.
My father always teach me all the stuff that I need to know in soccer, and okay. He gave me the avenues to learn what I need to know.
Very cool.
Is your dad a player?
He used to be a player.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. And how about you, Noah? Did when you were coming up, did you have any experiences in terms of coaches that said, you know, maybe you, I mean, you didn't get the award, so mm-hmm. I don't know if it was a jury thing. The jury decided that you didn't get that award. But people were obviously trying to keep you realistic, perhaps.
Yeah. I think one of the things that, looking back now, I would say I learned the most is, especially in football and in life, everything is not always like a linear path. And so mm-hmm. growing up in a small town playing soccer, there wasn't that many fantastic players. And so I knew that I was a good player.
Hmm.
And stepping out from that, I went to play soccer for Power Soccer Academy in Toronto, kind of expanded my horizons a bit. I played with Malcolm Duncan, who's on our team now. And starting to play with more and more players, I'm like, yeah, I'm good, but I'm not that good. I was good in the small environment, but how can I change and adapt to become good in a bigger environment? And I went through a period when I was 11 or 12 years old where, like, I didn't fit into, like, the best players in my team. I remember I was a part of the provincial team under 14, and we went to play against Quebec in the Quebec games, and in three games, I think I played 15 minutes.
Okay.
And that, for me, was a big moment to kind of just look at all the people around me and where I'm at in the sport and think, you know, how can I get better? How can I improve? And how can I one day be better than these guys who look at me now and think that I'm lesser than them? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a chip that I've had on my shoulder for a long time, and it's pushed me through a lot of moments I've had so far in my career.
Now, both of you are Sigma alumni, and so even though that's a very recognized name within Canadian football, being in Canada and looking ahead to say, I would like at some point in my life, wouldn't it be great if I could be a professional footballer? There are no clear path, or I shouldn't say no anymore. Mm-hmm. Maybe there are more now. But even though Sigma is well known, the pathways to the professional game are not maybe as clearly laid out as they might be in countries in Europe, for example. Did you find any challenges in terms of, even though you were being recognized as a good player, along the way to getting to that goal, like knowing that you wanted to be a professional footballer?
I think it's been slightly different for me and KJ, because him growing up, he's kind of seen the CPL as being a professional level here, but me growing up, I didn't have that to look at. Mm-hmm. And so the highest level I had to look at was League One, Ontario. And when I was at Sigma Academy, when I first joined, I think I was 15, it's like, I'm putting myself in a position where I have to go away to university to play soccer, because mm-hmm. that's the best route to become a pro. Mm-hmm. And so I think one of the beautiful things we sometimes forget about the CPL is that it gives guys like KJ a professional level to look and work towards when they're 12, 13 years old. And it's something that they can realistically achieve. They don't have to go to the US or go somewhere abroad and then come back and play a professional level. It's there for them. And KJ's done really well with his opportunity so far.
Well, and truthfully, when we're getting ready to do these podcasts, I think I have a certain bias that we're all adults for a certain amount of time, but it's true. The league is going into its sixth season. Mm-hmm. And come on, in your case, that means you did get to see it when you were really thinking about it. So what has sort of the CPL, and how has that meant? And what has it meant to you?
I've only found out about the CPL, I think, like, 2 or 3 years ago, because I was playing in an academy in Vaughan called Juventus Academy Toronto.
Okay.
And I moved over to Sigma, and that's when I found out about the CPL, and then I discovered that this could be an avenue for me to go pro. And then I really thought about it, sat down with my family, and they helped me to make the decision of, okay, this might be, if you really want to go pro, then this might be an opportunity that you have to take.
So we're talking like the second or third year in the league's existence at that point. Yeah. And obviously a lot of work had to be done to get the word out if you were just hearing about it at that point too. Is it different now? I mean, do you talk to, I hate to use the word kids, sorry, but do you talk to like the other younger players that maybe were starting when you were just getting here, and are they more aware of things now?
There's kids back at that old academy that I went to that asked me questions, and I'm free to answer them all the time because mm-hmm. I went through what they're trying to go through.
Yeah.
And just I'm free to answer anything they want to ask me because they want to get to where I'm at.
Yeah,
and absolutely. I feel like they can get to the CPL or even higher if they put their mind to it. And just
they probably think of you as the old man. Yeah. Like, you know?
No, don't
the grizzled veteran yet.
He's not there yet. He's not there.
He's just paving the way. Yeah.
But I hadn't thought about
that's
how...
That's better. The paving the way. He's the paver.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, obviously having a professional Canadian league is wonderful for all of us, but it hadn't occurred to me like how great it is for yourselves, like not having to go overseas and, learn perhaps a new language or another culture and, you know, maybe not have, your parents or your support system close by. So that's got to be a huge positive for you too as well.
Yeah. Like even as a growing league, I remember in 2019 in the summer, I came here and trained a little bit. And that was a big experience for me because that was the first time I had been in an environment with professionals. Mm. And so at the time, that was when David Edgar first came in. And David Edgar was someone that I knew before here that had played in the Premier League. Mm-hmm. And here I am in my second year at Oakland University. I'm sharing the field with a guy who used to play in the Premier League. It's quite amazing. For me, that was just the whole experience of being in this environment in 2019. Show me that, hey, I really want to be a professional footballer.
Yeah, because even just being around them, you can't help but take it in, right? Because there's like a sense of like these professional players that you just want to emulate them and be like them, right? And it also gives you an opportunity to see what a professional player looks like too.
Yeah, so, even just like their habits and everything on a daily basis. I think that's something also that goes a little bit under the radar. I know for myself and probably speaking for KJ too, just being in this environment and seeing people do what they do for a career is special. And for guys who have done it for a long time, you can really learn a lot.
Mm-hmm. Does that, those habits, do that convey into your daily routine in the off season as well?
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I think one of the biggest, I wouldn't say it's a habit, but like one of the biggest things as an athlete that you have to look towards is consistency.
Right.
And being able to stay consistent with your plan, what you want to accomplish, not only during the season, but away from football, away from the field, it's important. It keeps your mind sharp and keeps you in the mindset that, like, hey, you're a professional footballer regardless of if you're in season, out of season, and it always just gives you something to work towards.
Well, maybe that's a good chance to ask about a certain significant event that happened in the middle of Forge's off season. I mean, you got to play in the CONCACAF Champions League in the first round. I think it's safe to say that it was always going to be a big task to face Guadalajara and Chivas. How do you sort of, and I think maybe you've already answered it a little bit, but maybe you could be a bit more specific about how to, I mean, yes, you have your goals, you have your routines, your habits, those benchmarks that you want to get in the off season, but you still have to switch back into competitive mode. Mm-hmm. How hard was that? And can you tell the listeners just a little bit about that process when you said this, you know, that moment, right, where you switched to playing Chivas? Mm-hmm.
I think for me, so coming out of the off season, it's always like a breath of fresh air seeing your teammates again and starting to train. And I think that in itself raises your level of competitiveness to the point where over 2-3 weeks you're in a position to play. But it doesn't raise it high enough to be ready to play against a team like Chivas. But I think one of the biggest things was showing up here when we played against them and seeing the 10,000 people in the stands.
That was incredible.
That's the stuff that really is like, hey, this is going to take everything we have as a club and for each individual player. And those are all the games we want to play as a professional footballer. I know I want to be in a stadium where there's the most fans that can be in the stadium, because that's what gives me energy and motivates me to play at my best.
Well, and they were also not able to take you lightly.
Exactly.
Here or there, right? Yeah. You have CONCACAF experience. You made your debut in very dramatic fashion in a certain little place called the Azteca. Mm-hmm. And you got to have and I'm talking to KJ now, you got to have a very significant entry in another little place down south.
Yeah.
How about you? When you, like, was it really different for you coming into that game in your off season?
You know, because before I've never had like an off season. This is like my first professional year. I've been playing with Sigma, so I didn't really have an off season. You just chill in the summer, your free time, chill with your friends.
Okay.
And you come in.
So it was already really different.
Yeah, into a professional environment, you have an off season, and then you have to be sharp from the first day off because you have to play a opponent with the level of Chivas. Coming into that, the guys around me helped me a lot in order to keep my level high, keep the sharpness so that I can get a chance to play in a game like that. Mm-hmm. And the first leg, showed what we were able to do. Obviously, didn't get the result.
Right.
Second leg, go over. It was a little tough because scored early. And then I get into the game. Emotions are high because the fans around the stadium. And then I get my chance. I go and put it in the back of the net.
So, well, again, it's such a credit to the team that at no point in any watching and rewatching those matches did I feel like you shouldn't be there as a team. You were competitive. Yes, there were moments that you could learn from, obviously, right? What was it like in terms of your mindset in that game? Did it feel different than the other games that you came into with Forge? Or was it just switch into that mode and it's the same mode and off you go?
I mean, every game that I've came into for Forge has been a pretty big game for me.
Yeah.
The Calvary game I first came into was my debut, so that was a high emotion game.
Yeah.
My second game with Valor started, so that was another high pressure game. Then I went, I didn't play the rest of the season.
That's so true, man. Baptisms by fire.
Hey? Yeah. And then the next game I'm playing is a CONCACAF Champions League game, so it was just wild, a lot of emotions each game every time I stepped on the pitch, but I had to calm myself down in order to do what I needed to do.
Did you feel, after those first nerves, did they settle quickly?
100%.
Well, how about you, Noah? How about you, Noah? See, it's good. I'm gonna spread the name butchering around.
Due.
Yeah. Same thing. Big game. Are you able to go to that place instantly?
I mean, it's funny because sometimes in preparation for those big games, you want to like try and tell yourself, "Oh, it's just another game."
Like, yeah, right.
But no, like you're playing at the Azteca, you're playing in Guadalajara in front of 30,000 people, and it's not the same game.
No.
But I think the biggest thing that you can rely on, first of all, is the guys that you got around you. I mean, the amount of experience we have in our locker room is incomparable to any other CPL team. But another thing is our preparation. I think as a team, for both legs against Chivas, for both legs against Cruz Azul, we were more prepared than we've ever been for any games in terms of how we were going to play, the identity we were going to play with, and the team we were playing against. But sometimes, you know, like the results don't go your way, but I think we showed like the caliber of team we are and that we're not afraid to play our style of football against anyone, which I think was the most important thing for us.
Yeah, yeah. Did, now that we have, there's a little bit of a gap between your exposure in the CONCACAF Champions League and we have the league starting up in a couple weeks' time. Have you stopped? Like, did you come right back for training? Did they give you some time off after Chivas?
Yeah, we got it. We got some time off.
Okay,
I didn't get no time off.
You didn't, eh?
I had to go with the U20 national team. So.
Yeah.
Oh
my goodness! Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Way to drop that in there.
That's right. No, good.
No, we're talking about time off. I didn't get time off.
I was busy with the nationals. Yeah. That's amazing.
I really appreciate it because we didn't have time to gather all the stuff for this. But wow, what a thing for that too. Yeah. My goodness, congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. We have the really exciting opportunity, KJ, to now watch you in like emerging into the league in kind of the same way that we got to watch Noah a couple years ago, where the other players, they don't really know you yet. Yes, they can watch some video, they can see those things, but they don't yet have the full KJ experience on the field.
Mm-hmm.
So you get that birth, if you will, that where they don't know you yet.
Yeah,
that's exciting.
Well, they know you now.
Well, they do.
Big one in Mexico. They now they know you.
So wait till KJ scores a couple more goals on the CPL. And
this is the thing.
And then they'll be talking.
When he does, yeah.
But I mean, you know, conversely with Noah, they've seen you, they've played against you, and inevitably, even though, again, like we were talking a little bit about how I enjoy watching how the game is building and how it's built.
Mm-hmm.
Opponents inevitably learn you. So that first season that you had in, they didn't know who Noah was really.
Mm-hmm.
And you were able to really move much more freely.
Mm-hmm.
But they learn. So how do you, going into this season where they know you better, they have done their homework,
mm-hmm.
how do you retool your mindset to say, right, how am I going to play this game just a little bit differently to keep them on the toes?
I would say it's definitely, it's tough when to play against guys who know you more. I know in training every day it gets tougher and tougher to play against like guys like Alex and Alessandro because they see you every day.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, it's more so just playing with a little bit more freedom. I think for sure in the first year and a little bit last year, I was a lot more concerned with, you know, am I doing everything that Coach Bobby's telling me to do? Am I checking every box that I need to be checking as a central midfielder? And I was more so concerned with that and just helping our team win by playing my role rather than really implementing myself in the game. And I think that's something that I've done progressively more and more now. And I think, you know, I have a lot of confidence in my game right now. And I think that this year is going to be a good opportunity for me to play more consistent minutes and be able to show that week in, week out that I'm confident and quality enough to perform at a high level in this league.
Well, there's two ways you can use the phrase chip on my shoulder. You used it earlier, right? Yeah. You can use it in a way that says, yeah, I've got a chip on my shoulder. Or we see how you used it where it's...
You're motivated.
You're motivated. It's a motivation. It's a chip for you. That has to help too. I mean, I'm looking at you. You're confident. You're saying you're confident going into it. Yeah. So when the challenges happen on the field, off the field, do you automatically switch back into that again? Or do you have any techniques where if you have a down day, for example, or a down game, to sort of find that chip on your shoulder again, so to speak?
So I read a good quote one time. It is like, a positive person doesn't stay happy whenever the days are bad or whenever you have a bad day in training or a bad game. They just know that there's going to be days that are going to be better than that. And so for me, I've only played 2 years as a professional, but personally, I've gone through a lot of ups and downs. I've had games where I've been disappointed that I'm not playing. I've had games where I've played and I haven't played particularly well. And so I have no regrets towards any of these moments because they've all taught me something about myself as a player. And that's the experience that helps me every single day, knowing that I can have a positive outlook on my situation as a player. Because at the end of the day, I'm a professional footballer. I have the best job in the world, and I get to play football with my friends every day. It's the coolest thing ever. And so sometimes it's tough to see that perspective when the times get tough, but you just have to know that the next day is not going to be that tough, or in the future, the next game, it's not going to be that tough. It's always going
to
get better.
Yeah, even if you don't get to start in that game that you thought you might, for example. And you are part of a very, very strong midfield with, and Coach Bobby does play the anyone can play anytime rotational roster. So yeah, it's good to hear how you, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess rise above that inevitable disappointment, because you're human, right?
It's going to happen.
You're human. Yeah, it's going to happen for sure. Yeah.
And that's the thing. I hadn't considered the mental toughness you need to play this game too, right? Because you do have your ups and downs. You wonder about your spot on the squad, that sort of thing, right? How is it, how do you handle the ups and downs of the season that way? Do you have like a really good support system, anything like that?
I was going to ask about that just just mindset. That's good.
Yeah. We worked together a minute. So.
you played more than me. I don't know. For me,
we'll get to you though. It's okay. Yeah.
We see you.
We will not let you off the hook.
We see you. Yeah, we know where you were.
I don't know. I know that, again, there's a huge mental aspect of the sport. You know, you could have had the best week in training that you've ever had, and maybe you're not going to play a single minute on the weekend. But that's just how the sport goes sometimes. And I don't think you can really afford to get so hung up on those moments, because the minute that the final whistle blows for one weekend is the preparation for the next weekend.
Right.
And all you can control is how good you're going to be that week in preparation for the next game. And so for me, the biggest thing is, yeah, I like to call my parents after a game, maybe complain a little too much about maybe not playing or something, about this and about that. But I'm not going to come in here with a negative attitude towards my friends or my teammates, because we're just wasting everyone's time doing that.
And it's infectious too, right? Attitude is absolutely infectious. Yeah.
But they know that I'm going to show up on Monday regardless of if I played or not, and I'm going to work my ass off.
Because they all feel the same things from time to time too, don't they?
Yeah, because we're all passionate about winning, and we're passionate about this club. And so you can have an ego and you can sit there and be disappointed with playing 5 minutes, or you can say, I'm going to give everything that I can to my career, and I'm going to push myself on from here.
That's a real theme we hear from Forge, both from the couple conversations we've had here, but also from people who are exposed to it, and that it's such a professional organization, which you think it would be an obvious thing to say, well, yes, they're all paid to play football, but it's that it's a step above to say, no, well, yes, you are professionals, but you're professionals. Like, this is something we expect day in and day out. You're both from cities not too far. Well, sorry, I shouldn't say cities. You're both from places not too far from here.
It's okay. I live in Hamilton at the moment.
So there we go.
that works. That works.
Well, and the earlier, I think it was off. We weren't recording when you gave your nod to the Big Apple. So we'll do that now, properly and formally. I think all of us have had an experience with the Big Apple, but you're close by. Yeah, both of you are really close by. Your family's still in Brampton?
Yeah.
Okay. So do you? Having that close proximity to Hamilton and knowing that your family is so close by, how important is it to have that close connection?
I mean, I still live at home, so every day just coming. Why are you laughing, Lloyd?
No. He's paying rent, that's why. Yeah.
I still live at home, so every day I'm going to see my family. No matter if it's a bad day or a good day, they're asking me about how the day went. I get to talk to them every day, break down what happened, and I get to make decisions with them too if I need a, if I need somebody to talk to about something that was asked of me. So it's pretty easy, and I get a close support system that helps me through everything that I do over here.
That's pretty incredible. Yeah. How about you, Noah? Does your family, you mentioned you're calling home, you know, after a good day or a bad day.
Yep.
Let's give credit to both.
Right? I think it's ironic because, yeah, I may be X many years older than KJ, but whenever I have a decision, the first people I call is my parents. And I don't know, it's nice to, first of all, it's nice to have my parents come out and watch every game. I think that's...
And they do come out every game.
Yeah, that's amazing. Cool. That's something that I missed a lot being in university. It was a far way for my parents to be able to go watch. And it means a lot to me, not only my parents, but my sister, just to be able to watch me do my thing, I guess. Mm-hmm. But yeah, to also have them be my support system to allow me to switch off a little bit and not focus so much on football and just be around them, I think... It means a lot to me. I'm sure they don't probably know how much it means to me, but it's nice to be able to relax and talk about something with them that's not just football, because that's all our life really is.
Well, and so much of what we would be exposed to as fans here is that pro attitude, yeah. Right? That pro presentation. Mm-hmm. But they have been with you since you were tiny, right? Yeah. And they know when
they've
your mask
seen,
is
they've
on.
They've seen everything. Right. Yep.
That's right.
Can I say that it's really funny that you said you were X number of years in front, like a little math reference there?
Yeah, it's all for X.
It's all for X.
For all the listeners.
X is what?
It's all for X. Just do some research on KJ's age. For
you're going to have to respond to that.
So now Forge is going to have a Noah by the number segment because, you know.
Noah by the numbers.
Noah by the numbers.
You heard it here first.
Yeah.
You're going to have to copyright that.
Patent pending.
Now, does your family get out to the games?
Yeah. My family comes all, they come to all the games. Even if I'm not playing, still come out and watch some of the games.
That's
awesome.
That's amazing. Yeah. So if you were to sort of project your mind back to when you were much younger, when you were starting to, when you really first were starting to think, you know what, I think there's something, either as a general athlete playing mm-hmm. whichever sport or specific to football, advice to a younger player who is looking at rejection or challenges that they are facing, what advice, and you've mentioned a couple of things that you've been told, Noah. KJ, do you have any advice for younger players? And this is where you actually do get to be the old man, right? Because as an 18-year-old,
being the old man,
and who has had some and let's be honest, some experiences that every athlete your age, mm-hmm. with the exception of the 0.1%, none of them have had those experiences, and you have. So what would you say when they're facing hardships?
Pretty much just keep your head down and keep working. Whenever there's a time where you think something's not going your way, or you think, oh, this is the end, I'm not going to be able to do this anymore, just keep working at it. You'll see the results in the end. I used to think that, oh, because this one thing happened that was bad, I might ruin all these things that could happen in the future. But no, it's just one thing. You learn from it, and then you move on. And you just keep working, and you get to the next step, and then eventually you get to where you want to be.
Well, you have some perspective now. Yeah. I mean, even though Noah's giving you a hard time about X
that was
number
good
of
wisdom.
Years.
I like
yeah,
that.
See, right? I really like that. Absolutely.
That was a veteran answer.
Now we're going to turn to Noah for the wise metaphor saying for the same question. What would you say to young Noah or anybody facing that moment of rejection? Not getting that award, maybe, which is a great story for this podcast because it really does show the contrast between where you are now mm-hmm. and where you were.
Funny enough, so that whole disappointment, I guess, that I went through towards the end of me being in high school, it really encouraged me to start writing down specifically like what I wanted to accomplish with my time. And so going into college, the first thing that I wrote is, you know, I want to be a professional. And I remember writing that down on a sheet of paper my first day, and I thought, hey, I'm just going to be on a linear projection to becoming a professional footballer. There's not going to be any big ups and downs, I'm just going to be there. And then a month later, I had a tear in my quad and I was out for 6 weeks. And then that showed me that, hey, you know, the path to success or wherever you want to be is not going to be a straight line. It's going to be plenty of ups and downs. But all you know is that when you're in one of those low moments is that it's going to feel so much better when you're in one of the highs and when you've accomplished something that you've really wanted to accomplish. And it makes those moments just a little bit more sweet. And so I think the biggest piece of advice is to savor those moments, but know that when you're down, you're not going to be there forever. It's just temporary. It's just teaching you a lesson to be able to build you up to be in a position to achieve success.
Even the low points can be part of the process.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's all one big learning curve.
All right, so the tough part is done for the interview. Now we get to have some fun. All right, you ready?
Here we go.
This has been all fun, right. I hope, though.
I'm gonna float a softball across the table here. First of all, who's your team that you follow and that cheer for? When
Manchester United.
Obviously, Forge first, but you're Man United.
Man United.
All right, Manchester. Now it's a podcast, so we can't see facial expressions, but Noah is not, he does not look pleased at that. So we're going to go over to Noah now.
Well, I just feel bad for him.
He's on the other side, that's why. But
I support Manchester City.
I can't really think of a more perfect combination to have here, actually. So we have a genuine rivalry, historical legacy rivalry.
Fire and water.
Well, maybe this is the one thing you can't talk about.
Man United is a sensitive United's, topic right
they're
now.
They're not a contender anymore.
No, they're not, thankfully. Yeah.
Well, as a neutral, I know, guys, sorry. I'm glad because it makes for a really interesting season, but I know. I feel for you both, actually.
Yeah, looks like two of our teams are in a title race right now. So.
All right, another softball for you. For times when you're feeling down, now, of course, we're gonna take away all of your restrictions away. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to report to training in an hour or the next day. So take all that away. No training, nothing on the horizon, no guilt, nothing. Pick me up food to feel better after a rejection or a challenge. KJ.
That's a great question.
So
many food options.
I know.
Think cheat day.
I really have to resist talking about, we saw Noah in a promo video a couple years ago for sauerkraut.
For Denninger's?
For Denninger's, yep. Mm-hmm.
That food was amazing, by the way.
Yes, you genuinely looked very, very pleased to be doing what you were doing.
You know what's
there.
Hilarious is that Coach Johan, our goalkeeper coach, came up to me the next day and talked to me about it. He's like, why were you so excited to eat all that bad food?
Oh, no.
Because it's delicious bad
it's good
food.
Good stuff, man. Yeah.
And I was doing it for my job.
Yeah, exactly.
Take one for the team, literally.
Exactly. It doesn't get any better.
Yeah.
Hardships. Yes. Oh, sacrifices.
Okay, what are you eating, KJ?
Yeah. Right.
I'm either getting a big meat lover's pizza.
From where, though? I think that's important.
That is, actually.
It is important.
Because a Pizza Hut meat lover's is very different than...
like a Papa John's.
Papa John's or a...
I don't know, man.
Okay, so just generic meat lover's pizza.
Do you have a local pizza joint that you would order that from?
I mean, lately I've been getting my pizza from Pizza Hut.
Okay.
So Pizza Hut.
Yeah. Okay. I guess so, yeah.
I used to work at Pizza Hut when I was about this tall. And the meat lover pizza is a special pizza from Pizza Hut because Pizza Hut pan pizza is basically deep fried and it's just unreal. It's so bad for you.
It's glorious and how terrible it is for you.
Glorious how bad it is, yeah. How about you, Noah?
If I was in the U.S., Steak and Shake. With Oreo milkshake.
Oh wow!
Steak and Shake. All right, I'm drawing a blank.
Franchise.
It's a franchise.
Is it okay? Yeah. Okay.
It's a little bit older franchise. In Canada, though, easily Chipotle.
Okay.
Chipotle. Oh, I haven't been there yet. Bowl with chicken.
Yeah.
If I had to eat one fast food every day for the rest of my life, it'd be Chipotle.
Oh, okay. Good to know.
Okay.
Yeah. Nice.
So.
All right. Back to football matters. The perfect tackle. Or the perfect pass, KJ?
Perfect pass for me.
Noah?
Yeah, I'd say perfect pass too. But a perfect tackle is, there's nothing cooler.
In the
That's gonna be glorious.
On a wet pitch where you can.
Yeah, and then like after you make the tackle, you get up and all your teammates are like, that's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
But pass.
Yeah.
For a moment, we're gonna make you the same person, all right? Okay. So you're gonna be KJ Noah, and you're gonna be Noah KJ.
Okay.
So. You get one moment to relive, okay? So KJ Noah, do you relive KJ's biggie against Chivas or Noah's first against Ottawa?
Wow, have you even seen that goal?
Oh, that might make it easy then.
I wish I had my phone, I'd show you. But it was a good goal.
Explain it to me.
It was a banger.
Borges got the ball at the top of the box. Nothing going forward, so he passed it back to me 25 yards out. Just opened up, curled it to the back post.
First pro goal.
2 minutes into the second half.
Remember, you're not yourself right now.
At home, in front of the crowd.
So the crowd was going crazy.
It was like at the beginning of the season, so they had the fireworks behind the goal.
I think Noah's trying to sell this.
Oh, yeah.
But I'd still pick you, though. Yeah,
I had 30,000 fans booing me.
I'm picking you still. I'm picking your goal, so.
We are so biased. We were not booing, but that had to be something.
Yeah.
So felt like a villain in that moment.
But you picked my goal. Okay.
Good answer.
And no,
I would also pick KJ's goal, just to be clear.
We should make this a debate in the future.
Oh my god, it might be painful, but I have to say I find it delightful. The look on your face when you said I was the villain in front of 30,000
yeah.
people.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
And you know what? I'm going to do the old man thing myself right now and say how many 18-year-old Canadian kids can say that they were the villain in front of 30,000 Mexican fans?
International. You created an international incident.
Because you actually, for a moment, made them realize that they are vulnerable. Yeah. Yeah, there you go. See?
Yeah.
I'm really trying to sell the old man nickname for KJ.
No. Grizzled old.
I'm just trying to stay as young man as long as I can.
The grizzled young veteran.
Me too.
You're pushing it.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
Now, you're both. I love having a couple of real pacey players in front of me. You're both really pacey. So, we're going to go through some scenarios here where you have to pick one of you to run a certain distance. So without thinking too much, and we'll go KJ to Noah each time. So who would you pick to run 18 yards?
Probably myself.
Okay.
I think I'm faster than you, though. I'd pick myself.
Okay.
I don't think so.
I feel like I'm faster than you.
I don't think so.
All right. So let's take the distance of Noah's first goal, 25, 30 yards. Same question.
Taking myself again.
All right.
I'm still taking myself.
Oh, this is great. Wow.
What's your GPS top speed?
I think I hit 35.
Yeah, me too.
That's amazing. That is incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, this is going to be a good race.
All right. Upping the length a little bit. 6 yard box to 6 yard box.
Not him.
Yeah, that's me for sure. Him
for sure.
All right. That was the
just because of the engine. Yeah.
I was got the tank.
All right. 1 kilometer.
Still take it in.
I guess increasing
it goes to him.
He had a better luck with the shorter distances, but I'm still confident in the short distance. Nah.
Now, do they work with you on the longer stuff? Because, I mean, hey, it's football. You need the endurance as well, right?
Yeah, 100%.
All right, so maybe someday we'll get a chance to come back and ask those questions in a couple years, and maybe begrudgingly, a certain man will be really old by then.
Maybe I will.
He's got the years, so those couple of years will get him slower.
Yeah, but you're going to be growing, and you're going to be too tall, and you're going to be lanky, and you're going to forget how to run.
Well, I think that's a great place to wrap up. Thanks, gentlemen, for this. It is just such a privilege and a pleasure to have you on, and thank you so, so much.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Thank you.
Good. We're glad. And all the best this season. No pressure, obviously.
No.
You know.
Never any pressure. Pressure makes diamonds, but.
Thanks for being here. Thank you so much, first of all, to Kevon Tavernier and Noah Jensen for being on the pod. And apologies and thanks to Kevon in particular for how gracious you were when I totally butchered your name. Thank you, and I'm sorry again. And thanks to Nico at Forge for arranging the chat and for all of the Forge team for delivering such a great football experience to our little city. I also wanted to give a shout out to a great little podcast called The Hammer of Sparks, which focuses on Forge FC, our people. That's Hammer of Sparks podcast, and Sparks has an X at the end. And thanks again to all the listeners. Don't forget you can get in touch to share your ideas with us at rejectedcentral8@gmail.com, through the website, and of course on social media. And there goes another good one in the books. And thanks to Dave, my buddy and partner in crime, and to everyone else out there. We'll see you next time.